broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 26th in the year of our Lord 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. You see, the founding fathers already gave their blood, their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honors on the altar of putting together a plan. That's why we're the freest country on the face of the earth. The plan is now the supreme law of the land. The grand old experiment has been proven successful. All we need to do is turn to God, family, and country. All we need to do is have pure application of the principles that made America great using the supreme law of the land, complete with its checks and balances to restore the republic. Yeah, we got a long road to hoe, I get it, but I also get that we have the solution in our very hands, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Kirk Crosby, from what I understand, is celebrating his anniversary with his wife. So congratulations to him and his lovely wife celebrating their, I got to check with Kurt, I think it's 37 years of marriage. Wow. Congratulations to that incredible legacy. 11 children, 20 plus grandchildren, I think it is now. Just a phenomenal celebration for those folks. So Kurt will be back tomorrow, I think. But he's just got cool things going on with the fam. And, you know, that's one of the things we celebrate on the radio the most is God, family, and country. And so there you have it. Meanwhile, I walk alone this hour. Second hour, though, I'll have our buddy Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org, with us. So we'll talk to Tom about what's happening in Agenda 2030. We'll talk to him about some of the wins that are happening. We'll talk to him a little bit about the phenomenal job that folks are doing in the Trump administration. I kid you not, there's good things happening. So we'll talk about those things. Meanwhile, though, as far as I understand, you know what? We are sickened with the abuse of the Democrats / I don't know what you call them. They're Democrats, they're socialists, they're communists, they're Antifa, they're Black Lives Matter, they're who knows what these groups are. They're ACORN, they're Black Panthers, they're all mixed together, but they're all literally violent and abusive and hostile. They literally chased Ted Cruz and his wife, Heidi, out of a restaurant. And as long as the Democrats have enough button pushers on their side, they know they only have to bully one or two weak-kneed Republicans enough to make them, quote, lose their nerve. So we got to beat the D.C. swamp folks, ladies and gentlemen. We got to really understand this is serious business. We got a battleground issue going on. And I don't mean just at the ballot box. I'm talking in general. Okay, Ted Cruz chased out of the D.C. restaurant by protesters. This is absolutely unacceptable behavior. Where are the police? How did this happen? How do you literally get into a restaurant and literally chase someone and his wife out? Okay, now, the problem with some of these politicians is that sometimes they have guards around them. And sometimes they don't. And when they don't, they get a little taste of what it's like, maybe for the rest of us, huh? But what a sad tale to tell. I mean, what a shame. How did this happen? I don't know how we're allowing this to occur. So that's the deal. It's amazing. I don't even know what to say. It's amazing how we let this happen. So listen to me carefully. Maxine Waters says, don't let them even exist. Don't let them peacefully eat dinner. Don't let them go into the grocery store. I mean, she basically said all this, right? And now it's being carried out just steps from the White House in a fine restaurant to a key senator. Folks, this has got to stop. Okay? I don't like this new Cortez lady on the block, right? I don't agree with her. I don't think what she's doing makes any sense. I think she's dishonest and immoral, and she's part of the Socialists of America or Communist USA party and all this stuff, okay? But I would never want any harm to her. I would never want to harass her out of a restaurant. I want to use the public forum and politically disagree with her, and I'd like her to advocate for her beliefs, and I'd like to be able to do the same, and y'all in the middle can decide who you believe have your interest in mind, who you believe advocates your cause, your belief system, right? I'm all good with that political discourse. I'm even all right with the different agreeing to disagree. I'm okay with us having different opinions, different. But you know what? They cross the line when they do this. I wouldn't harass Bill Clinton out of a restaurant or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or any of these people. I wouldn't even harass John McCain. I know he's not alive now, but I wouldn't even harass John McCain out of a restaurant. When are we going to learn in America it's not acceptable to behave like this? We believe in a couple of things in America: polite, respectful, political discourse. Okay, you cross the line. I think these people should have been arrested. All right? But we believe in one, political discourse that's this polite and respectful and decent and moral and does not cross the line into criminal activity or violence, right? The second thing we believe in America is due process of law. And we also believe people can think and believe, at least we're supposed to, people can think and believe what they want. Anyway, our prayers are with Ted Cruz, and our prayers are that these people come to their senses and stop. We also believe in the peaceful transfer of power in America. You know, it went from George Bush to Bill Clinton to, what, Barack Obama to Donald Trump. Peaceful transfer of power, we believe in that. That's what is the hallmark of America, the land of the free. It's different from other nations, folks. We got to pray for Judge Kavanaugh and his family. And I would say pray for the accusers, too. Pray for those who persecute you, right? I think Judge Kavanaugh is being persecuted by these women, by the Democrats, by Antifa. So is Ted Cruz, right? Well, let's pray for all these people. Let's pray that we can somehow have cooler heads prevail in our nation. Let's reject the violence, the outbursts, the vitriol, the hate, the divisions, and let's double down with kindness and patience and respect and appreciation and prayers for one another. All right, there's a guy who thought about jumping into the ocean to end it all. But thank heavens he recalled his parents' advice, that is to pray. He had a Bible with him and he prayed. He was out in the ocean. He lasted for 49 days and lived. So that's the kind of hope, the kind of celebration of life that I want to see. We talked about Sirius XM. They offered $3.5 billion to buy Pandora. Time will tell if that marriage is successful, right? Is Pandora yesteryear radio? Time will tell, that's for sure. We also talked about Google admits that it lets third-party applications read your email by the hundreds. Did you hear me? Google admits that it lets hundreds of third-party apps read your emails. Google says it continues to allow applications to scan data from Gmail accounts. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, don't worry. They say third-party apps read data from Gmail and share this information with marketers, but don't worry, Google does not. So let me understand this. Google doesn't, but they let third parties do it and sell it to marketers or give it with what? It doesn't make any sense. The question is, somebody needs to investigate this. Does Google get money on the back end when the third parties do it? Do they share in the spoils? This is an absolute massive violation of privacy. No wonder Donald Trump is prompted to investigate these folks, huh? I guess London loses its number one spot in the think tank's ranking of global financial hubs. I guess the United States gaining on it. Then Donald Trump goes to the United Nations, says our economy is doing great. Everybody laughs at him. We'll get to that. Wow. Utah groups want to tank Nevada's groundwater pumping plant. It's a battle over water in the western states. Too much water in the east. Maybe we ought to pray for rain to go where it needs to go, huh? Maybe we ought to turn to God and repent and pray that he can direct the water on the earth to the places that need it and in the proper, what, moderation? We need to keep the Sabbath day holy and say our prayers, folks. Siri, Alexa, or Google Assistant, which one's best? I had to whisper that one so she doesn't, you know, go off thinking I'm trying to talk to her. That was our Win a Liberty Roundtable Live, brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt. Makes incredible birthday gifts, Christmas gifts, Thanksgiving gifts, anniversary gifts, just because gifts. And I'm telling you right now, it's a sweet gift, to say the least. Raw Honey tastes phenomenal, good for your health. Get a hold of Kurt to get Raw Honey delivered directly to your door. Email him, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. He'd love to talk to you about a sweet deal for you. Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. All right, hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. We had our guest on, Mr. Jim Clymer. We talked about the party of integrity, liberty, and prosperity. What are we talking about? The Constitution Party, constitutionparty.com. We had a great chat with Jim Clymer. Are you tired of dishonesty in politics? Me too. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds on your favorite news the networks refuse to use talk station.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. I am Sam Bushman. Hope you're all loving the broadcast. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. We break it down like nobody's business. Last broadcast, that's second hour yesterday, available online at libertyroundtable.com. We had our guest on, Mr. Jim Clymer. We're talking about the Party of Integrity, Liberty, and Prosperity, constitutionparty.com. Are you tired of dishonesty in politics? Of having your rights stripped by elected officials of other parties? Have you concluded they will never improve the economy in the long run? Wow. Three pillars. Integrity, liberty, and prosperity. That's the three pillars that are going to be the solutions for America. We talked about that with Jim Clymer. We also talked about welcome Tim Alders for Senate. TimAlders.com. That's A-A-L-D-E-R-S. TimAlders.com, and he's running for Senate against Orrin Hatch. And he's got a funny commercial out because there's a Democrat in the race. And her name is Jenny Wilson, and so she's the Democrat. Mitt Romney's the Republican, and Tim Alders is the third party, right? Or the Constitution Party. They're all really a third party, depending on which way you look at it, right? It's funny how they manipulate votes by acting like one's a third party, like illegitimate somehow. Nevertheless, what's funny about Tim Alders' commercial, it's a radio commercial attacking Mitt Romney. He basically says, you know what, Mitt Romney's off the charts liberal, and that he's the Republican. It's kind of like, well, the Democrats ignored. Mitt Romney's the Democrat, and Tim Alders is the Republican, is the way Tim's pitching it. And it's a very valid point when you consider Kirk Crosby's admonition all the time. What is a Republican? Is it Tim Alders or Mitt Romney? I would say it's Tim Alders, even though Tim Alders is on the Constitution Party this time, right? Anyway, it's very an interesting commercial, and it makes Kurt's point very well, in my humble opinion. All right, we talked about pro-Romney firms purchase voting machine company, and that's raising alarms. Boy, howdy, is it. We also talked about Mitt Romney is running for Senate as a friend and foe of Donald Trump, promotes the headline from CNN. What does that mean? Mitt Romney's running as a friend and foe of Donald Trump? Wow. All right, we asked who is Jenny Wilson already. She's the Democrat running against Mitt Romney and Tim Alders. Kirk Crosby running for state house. Keep an eye on that. Hopefully he becomes the state rep for the Olympic State of Utah. We also talked about Mark Wahlberg. This guy's an athlete, I guess. He has a grueling daily regime. It's pretty nifty, though. It starts out with 30 minutes of prayer. Good for Mark. What an example. We need more of that going on in America, folks. I'll tell you that right now. Less chasing folks out of restaurants and more prayer. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday on Liberty Roundtable Live. It is available online on demand. If it works for you, download it, listen, share it with your friends and more. And by the way, if you believe we provide value in these broadcasts, then donate today. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We don't want you just to give us money thinking we're begging for your cash. We have day jobs and fund our own families. But what we want you to do is help us grow our presence in the media. Believe it or not, we got a delightful surprise. Kirk Crosby, I guess, did not take off on his 37th year wedding anniversary yet. Hi, Kurt. All right, are you there, Kurt? All right, well, I'll try to get Kurt back. He was with us, and now he's not with us. So we'll work on that, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, there's so much to cover in the news. It's just beyond imagination. I guess they laughed at the Donald at the United Nations event. And what's fascinating to me is on the campaign trail, Donald Trump told you how awful the United Nations was, right? How, you know what, we don't want to promote globalism, but we want to promote I don't know if I want to say nationalism, because they've literally destroyed that term to mean something that we don't. They've turned it to mean isolationism or somehow Nazism or supremacy or these kind of things. I don't agree with any of those things. But anyway, nationalism is opposed to globalism. All right. If you say, Sam, are you a nationalist? I say, well, it depends on what words you want to associate with that. Am I a supremacist? No. Am I a Nazi? No. Okay. Am I a supremacist? Am I a an isolationist? No. But if you say to me, Sam, look, you got to choose. Are you a nationalist or a globalist? Then I would say I'm a nationalist. Meaning I believe in the United States of America, and I believe in the self-determination of nations, and I believe in the sovereignty of nations, and I believe in the freedom and sovereignty of the United States. So if that makes me a nationalist, so be it under the right definitions and terms. Do I believe in isolationism? Of course not. Do I believe in free trade? No, I don't. I believe in fair trade. I believe in open, honest trade. Do I believe in open borders? No, I don't. I believe that we have the right and the need to defend the United States of America, right? So anyway, the battle goes on. But Donald Trump, I don't know that he should be going to the United Nations and doing what he's doing. He's giving the United Nations legitimacy. We're funding this organization that clearly has an agenda to violate the sovereignty and the self-determination of the United States of America and replace the nationalist viewpoint with a globalist viewpoint. I don't know that I even believe in nationalism, so I wouldn't be called a nationalist. I might believe more in federalism, which means the federal government, by the supreme law of the land, has been delegated certain authorities and responsibilities. That's what the United States is about. See, I believe we have dual sovereigns. We have the state, which has its sovereignty, and then there's delegated sovereignty to the federal government in a very limited fashion, right? Anyway, I digress, except to say that I don't know that I'm even a nationalist, right? I'm more of a federalist or more of a constitutionalist is how I would put it. But I'm not into isolationism. I think we ought to negotiate with the world and talk to the world and even trade with the world, just on fair terms, not free terms, not give away the farm terms, right? Anyway, I digress. Donald Trump was at the United Nations, which I don't even think he should be there, giving legitimacy to the organization in the first place. Nevertheless, he was there and he spoke and they laughed at him. Listen to this.
World leaders, ambassadors, and distinguished delegates, 1 year ago, I stood before you for the first time in this grand hall. I addressed the threats facing our world, and I presented a vision to achieve a brighter future for all of humanity. Today, I stand before the United Nations General Assembly to share the extraordinary progress we've made. In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
Wow.
America's economy is booming like never before. Since my election, we have added $10 trillion in wealth. The stock market is at an all-time high in history, and jobless claims are at a 50-year low.
Now, I think a lot of what Donald says is true. What's comical, though, is they laugh at him. They literally laugh at him. And I think the reason they laugh at him is because it's so complicated. It's so complicated to know what the truth is. Do we have more jobs than ever before? Is the economy booming like never before? Has Donald brought back prosperity more so than literally any other nation kind of a thing? See, I think that what Donald's problem is he overstates things quite a bit. Is it true that Americans are feeling better about the economy than they were under Barack Obama? Absolutely. But is it true that he's done more than almost any other administration? I think that's a little bit of a stretch, right? I think that's kind of, what do you say, taking it way too far? Okay, is the economy just booming? I think it depends on who you are. But I don't think it's just broadly booming like Donald makes it sound. There's a lot of turmoil in the administration, right? I mean, there's a lot of questions going on in America. About, you know, so world leaders laugh as Donald Trump boasts of accomplishments during UN speech. And I look at that and say, why would they be laughing at him? Because I don't think they see it that way. I see that most people believe, like, we have an administration in big turmoil. I mean, there's nothing but sexual allegations and infighting. And I think the world sees a nation divided. That's sad to say. But I think that's the truth. Right? I think that's the truth. And I think that we need to really take a step back and focus in America a little less on Donald and his accomplishments, and a whole lot more about we're one nation under God. And we got to work to make America great like that. Quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we finally got Kirk Crosby with us. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. So happy anniversary to you and your wife. Did I get it right? 37th?
Yes, sir.
All right. And did I get it right? 11 children.
Yes, sir.
20-plus grandchildren?
Yeah, 21 waiting on number 22 now.
All right. Well, congratulations to you guys. And I guess you just love the audience so much, you just wanted to celebrate with them, right?
Well, yeah, that's right.
And I know, so you're just going to adjust your time frame a little bit? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, we just had some difficulties come up to make our plans change a little.
Yeah, when you have 11 children and 22 grandchildren, sometimes things just, change. But God, family, and country are the most important, and so you just got to attend to that, and there'll be time for the two of you two, right?
There's always time.
That's right. So anyway, we'll just renegotiate a little bit and have you on for now, and then when you're taking off, we'll just give you a little break and have a guest, and it'll be all good. By the way, what do you think of world leaders laughing while Donald Trump talks about his accomplishments to the United Nations speech? My comment is it's a little comical. There's a lot of turmoil the world sees, and I'd rather focus on, you know what, we're one nation under God than I would focus on the Donald Trump success story, so to speak.
Well, in his defense, in my opinion, you know, you said my administration. I don't think you really mean that I did it all. And, you know, I know that he has an ego like all of us do. But when you go into the UN, a place that's basically infested by socialists and communists, you know, a bunch of king men and liberals and insiders and all that kind of stuff, and you tout conservatism and Americanism and that kind of thing, you're going into a very, very hostile crowd. It doesn't surprise me that he's laughed at. You know, the thing that, like you said, you know, it's kind of unusual, or shouldn't be, that he should even go there. But the key point is, at least in my opinion, I've never seen that by a president in my lifetime that I could remember that went in before this world body that we have no, that we shouldn't be spending any of our money with or whatever. But at least he's going in there to preach the what I call the gospel of freedom and liberty and that kind of thing. And, you know, my hat's off to him. I can just.
Amen. And I will say this in his defense, at least he's talking more about, and I'm afraid to use this term, where it's so sad in America, but he basically talked about nationalism as opposed to globalism as well. The problem is, the second you say nationalist, now you're a racist, a homophobe, a bigot, a hater, an isolationist. And see, I don't agree with any of those terms, but I think that he's wise to go in and talk about America and what makes America great, too.
Well, yeah, and it's an example of how other countries, if they really want to, you know, embrace freedom and, you know, all those kind of things, the principles of liberty, et cetera, you know, here's how to do it, you know, at least the best way we've got going on in the world today. There's certainly a lot more that can be done, but at least, like you said, you know, over the last 2 years, look at what's been done. It's true.
It's a great point.
We would have wanted a whole lot more to be done, but we're really surprised that this got done.
Well, we're surprised and grateful, and we're looking at that as the plan of how to get more done. And so I bring up both sides of the coin. I'm not here just to attack the Donald, but, you know, when leaders laugh, that's a little bit what happens when you take too much credit. And I know he said his administration or whatever, but, you know, oftentimes it's better to be kind of a humble leader. When something goes really well, you blame it on all those around you. When something goes really bad, then you kind of own it yourself. That's the hallmark of, in my opinion, real leadership and stuff like that. But it is true that at least he's talking about the accomplishments for his administration and really for all Americans. I mean, we can all take credit for some of the accomplishments in a way, and the way we can really do more is to turn to the Almighty, in my humble opinion. All right, the Kavanaugh confirmation vote is scheduled for 9:30 a.m. Friday morning, sir. So they're going to hear from this chick, Ford, if she testifies. They're going to hear from Kavanaugh tomorrow, and then they're going to take the vote Friday. Kurt, what do you think of that?
You know, I'll be surprised. The thing that worries me, at least when it looks that, you know, if you just look at Kavanaugh as being the, you know, the solution, and at least given the choices we've got, that's the only one on the table as far as I can see. The Republican senators, especially, there's a couple of ladies that are being hounded big time. I don't know if they're going to waffle, which means, you know, I mean, waffle is kind of a normal term in the Senate because, you know, they're led by the chief waffler, McConnell. But, you know, if they if these two ladies defect, if you will, he loses. You know, he doesn't get confirmed. So we'll see. You know, at least they're going to vote. And I'd like to see that. Hopefully they'll let us know how the vote went, you know.
Amen to that. And I don't really know what's going to happen, and I agree that I hope some people don't get their arms twisted. I know that the vote's scheduled on Friday, and I'm really delighted to see when there's these allegations, but there's no evidence, there's no witnesses, there's no proof, and they're not even filing into the proper jurisdictional venue. I've got a problem with it. I think they need to move along. And you know what? Let's put an up and down vote to Kavanaugh. If we really believe that he's the an evil, horrible person, then vote him down. On the other hand, if you, like me, believe that he is a man of sterling character, even if he made some mistakes in high school. You know what? I'm not here to debate if he drank alcohol in high school or what he did. And I'm not even here to focus on his mistakes. I'm here to say there is repentance in this world. There is forgiveness in this world. There is change. People can be, you know, hey, 35 years later, you can be a completely different person than you once were. And we need to be open as a nation, allow for that change if it's genuine to happen. And so anyway, I'm delighted the vote is scheduled for Friday. Let's move along. I'm a little concerned, though, that they kind of think he's guilty until proven innocent. Because I guess there's a Democratic senator. I don't know much about this person, but it's Mazie Hirono. Basically won't say that Kavanaugh should have a presumption of innocence. And that's a big problem that I see here and kind of the focal point of my concern is, look, we need to have the presumption of innocence. I don't care if you're a judge. I don't care if you say, well, Sam, this is not a court of law. It doesn't apply. You know, it should apply to everyone everywhere. And the second we start to erode that standard, in my opinion, I fear for the outcome. Because that's one of the hallmarks that have set America up as one of the greatest nations in the world to say, hey, you have a right to face your accuser. Now they're debating if Kavanaugh could even be in the room when she testifies. He should be able to face her. He should be able to squarely deal with those allegations. And so when we reject this presumption of innocence idea, and then when we say he can't face her, we're literally, in my opinion, encroaching on some of the things that made America the greatest. And it's a check and balance that I think we will be sad to see if we let that erode. Anyway, in contrast to that, I guess, comedian Bill Cosby, 81 years old, has been sentenced to 3 to 10 years in a Pennsylvania state prison for drugging and molesting a woman in 2004. Did you see this, Kurt?
Yep. It's a sad day. It's sad, number one, that it took so long for this guy to pay for his crimes. It's sad that you have the justice that you can buy, and this guy had lots of money, and I believe he's, very much more guilty of a number of other situations. But we see this with not just Bill Cosby. What about Bill Clinton?
You've heard of the Tale of Two Cities, and Sheriff Mack oftentimes talks about the Tale of Two Sheriffs kind of a thing and how they make decisions. And I'm talking about the Tale of Two Bills right now.
That's exactly right.
But, go ahead.
When do you see that brought up about the Bill Cosby story? He ought to be talking about it big time himself, saying, hey, this isn't fair, Bill Clinton did all this, and he walked free, and you guys are putting me in. I think I'm not telling you he ought to go free, but there ought to be justice for all.
Now, there's an interesting twist on this story. And again, this is so hard to know how to navigate, Kurt. Because on one hand, when someone has been abused, you want it to stop. And we always want justice done in America, right? But how do you know when it's legitimate versus when it's political mud and dishonesty? And it's a very difficult, difficult balance. Well, there's a group trying to speak out about this. I'll tell you about them in seconds. Your comments as well. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So this is Solutions Radio. I'm going to tell you about a group and what they're doing. And like I say, this is a very difficult area to work through. On one hand, if there really is sexual abuse that has occurred, you want to create accountability for it. You want the victims to have their fair, just opportunity to have the truth be known and have this behavior stopped. On the other hand, if they're false allegations, you know what? You got to clear the innocent. How do you balance that? And in every case, it's different. I'm going to tell you about this group, what they're doing and what's going on. And then I'm going to tell you the solution of what I believe to be the case. All right. So there's a group called the Mormon Women for Ethical Government. That's the name of the group. It started in Utah. It's called the Mormon Women for Ethical Government. And they're calling for a probe of the allegations against Kavanaugh. And what they say is, look, Kavanaugh's hearing needs to be stopped. We need to get to the bottom of it. If the allegations are proven false, then you know what? He should be put to the court, justly so. But if they're true, he ought to not be nominated and not be confirmed. I guess he's already nominated, but not be confirmed. And so I understand these women's point. They are a group that's created out of Utah. They're not officially involved with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, meaning these people are members of the church, but there's no association between the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and this group. But the reason they're called the Mormon Women is because they're literally targeting 4 to 6 Mormon senators saying, hey, you guys need to, deal with this. So, you know, Mike Lee, Orrin Hatch, Jeff Flake, Mike Crapo, several of them. And the idea is, hey, you guys need to stand up and stop this until we get to the bottom of it. And I understand what these women are saying, and I don't disregard their point. They were formed 6 days after Donald Trump took office because they're saying, hey, why should a man who has all kinds of sexual allegations against him be president of the United States of America? And my response is because he was elected. That's why. Like it or not, he was elected. And that's kind of the issue that I have. I understand their point, and I don't think their point should be taken lightly. But I do think that we need to follow the pattern that America has set. I don't think we want immoral leaders. I agree. But are you going to overturn an election? I don't think we want an immoral man to be on the Supreme Court. But you know what? These allegations are brought at the last hour for political reasons. There is no evidence. There are no witnesses at this point. And so I'm saying, look, if you want to go ahead and find out the truth, then you need to follow the proper procedures. So in the case of Ms. Ford, rather than going to Congress, they don't have any authority to vet her or to find out if this is true or not. In fact, tomorrow, they're going to have a female sex allegation prosecutor, whatever you want to say, ask the questions for them. Just proving what a political hot potato it is. They're hoping by having a female lawyer ask the questions, it won't be taken so hostily that a bunch of white men are attacking a poor abused woman. At the same time, I'm saying, you know what? The truth is, hey, if Ms. Ford has an issue, then she needs to file her redress of grievance, her allegation of criminal activity with the local municipality that has jurisdiction. That would be in Maryland, from what I understand. All right, that's the issue here. So although I understand the women's point, look what happened to Bill Cosby. The women took it to its jurisdictional reality, and they got a prosecution, and now he's going to sit in a Pennsylvania prison. How is Bill Cosby's case different than Kavanaugh's? Different from Bill Clinton's? So you got to bring the allegations in the right venue. So although I understand these women's point, and I agree that it's a serious matter, I disagree with the grandstanding and the political manipulating and maneuvering that's going on surrounding this. So I would proceed with the vote in the Senate, and then I would proceed with criminal charges, if there are any, and I would assume that he's innocent until proven guilty. Those are the solutions. Those are the constitutional way that I would look at it, Kurt, from a jurisdictional point of view. And I bring that all up because I want people to understand what ought to happen here. Kurt, do you want to add to that? What do you think should happen here?
Justice should be served, Sam. And so many times, man, it's tough. You got the judge shopping that happens so many times, simply because you don't always have, righteous judges. You got lawyers that, in many cases are not righteous lawyers. And so, it's sad to say that in America, it's difficult to get justice, I believe. There's those instances where we see it done. But, for example, yesterday when I was traveling a little bit, I heard Sean Hannity interview Juanita Broderick. And Juanita Broderick basically says she and a whole bunch of other Republican women are heading there to support Judge Kavanaugh. You brought up one group, the Mormon Women for Justice or something?
Well, it's basically the Mormon Women for Ethical Government. And see, I believe that they formed for a good, legitimate moral reason, Kurt, and everything. I just have a little bit of problem when we basically have people bring... It reminds me of a late hit in football, Kurt. You know what? After the ball's dead, you still nail them anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, it reminds me of that kind of a thing, politically speaking, going on here. Look, they didn't bring the allegations forth as soon as they knew them. She brought the allegations forth through a senator who sat on it for weeks, and she wanted to remain anonymous, so she wants to have these allegations put forward and not even know who the accuser is. And then we find out the letter that Feinstein had regarding this isn't even the actual detailed letter. And then we find out, and then another woman even comes even later, and while the guy's, receiving paramedics, then another hit comes in. That's the reason that I say this should go forward. At some point, you can't political grandstand like that. And at some point, you know what? If there really is allegations, let it follow the proper jurisdictional procedure. There's a way to do this in America, Kurt. And so that's why I give the advice that I give about this is, what else do you do? You want to harm the least amount of people. And if you stop the whole proceedings, you're harming the nation because there's a staff member on the Supreme Court that'll be empty, if you will. You want to move forward with this because if he is innocent, you shouldn't say that he's guilty and put a halt on it. If you derail it till the elections happen, then, hey, if the Democrats take, then they may never give him his heyday, even if he is proven innocent. Well, you're innocent now, but you're still not going to be on the court because there's another woman that's got an allegation. Or because of, in other words, at some point, it's not just to not proceed. And so how is justice best served? And the answer is, we follow the principles that made America great, which is respect jurisdictional boundaries. You have the proper ability to go to the courts and find a redress of grievance. And at the same time, he's innocent until proven guilty. If you follow all those logical discussion points, then you say, hey, exactly what I'm saying. Let her file her case if she has one. If there's proof, let it be known. If there's criminal activity, let it be, vetted. And let's have an open trial. Let's have a speedy trial. Let's have a due process of law. In the meantime, though, he's innocent until proven guilty. And let's ignore the late hits as political maneuvering. Shame on them. But then let's move forward in a way that's meaningful. So, I don't know. That's why I give the advice that I give.
Very good, Sam. I think you're right on target. And my wife's here, so she said you're right on target.
And it's not because I want to defend any wrongdoing that Judge Kavanaugh's done. But it is that, you know what, every move you make has serious repercussions. So where do you, when there's no good answers, what do? Well, you stand for pro-life as opposed to pro-death. You stand for pro-marriage as opposed to no marriage or whatever you want to say. Okay, you always move towards the most peaceful, polite, kind, due process, whatever you want to go. You move to all those things of safety and say, I don't know all the answers, and I know it's pretty messy and not convenient, but I'm going to err on the side of the things that matter in America most, which is, am I going to presume him innocent or guilty? There is no middle ground. And the reason there's no middle ground is because there's timelines set by other factors that we don't control. If you delay his nomination and an election happens and the landscape in the Senate changes, or the House even, enough to have the political winds against him, then justice may not be done. He may be proven innocent. Or the charges may just go away. In other words, everybody may just kind of melt away, kind of like they did Roy Moore. I don't hear anybody literally filing lawsuits against Roy Moore in the proper venues. So see, if that goes away and there's either no allegations anymore, or, well, he did it, but we're not going to pursue it, or then justice isn't done if the Senate changes hands and they won't confirm him nevertheless. So how do you get justice done? And you follow the principles, in my opinion, that made America great. And when things are messy and they're confusing, you go back to jurisdictional boundaries. You go back to constitutionality. You go back to the principles that made America great. And you say, you know what? I don't know all the answers, but I know those principles will serve us well. All right, there you have it. So I call for the probe of the allegations to continue in the proper jurisdictional venue. I don't think it's a realm for the Senate, though. The Senate's already had their hearings.
You also brought up Judge Roy Moore. And I don't know that we'd even be worried about the tight vote if it hadn't been for the what I call vote fraud that happened down there, where you have now a different, you know, a Democratic senator instead of Judge Roy Moore.
Well, it's a valid point that you bring up, and that's kind of why I say you've got to let the proceedings happen. They should have confirmed, or they should have let Roy Moore run. The allegations should not have derailed the truth on this, and he should have had a fair shot to be the senator. And so far, I don't even see the women pushing their allegations anymore, do you?
No, but it also shows you the power of the media, which is your point that we always, you know, suggest to folks to be involved with the media simply because they have a lot of power. The Washington Post, the New York Times, and those others who push those articles and those people at those times, they literally changed the vote, I believe, down there, and as a result, changed the Senate, and may affect this deal as well.
Yeah, you're right about that. Wow, I guess Donald Trump is weighing an antitrust probe into Google, Facebook, and Twitter. They say it's been a long time in coming, and he might do it via executive order. So time will tell on that, Kurt. But I believe that's been a big source of election fraud, too, whether they want to blame it on the Russians. The Russians have used these tools for their ends, even if it was the Russians. I'm not so sure I believe it was the Russians either. And this is an example about these allegations going on forever with no end in sight. We're still saying there's no evidence that Trump meddled in the elections or that Russia did. We don't have the evidence necessarily, but we keep just this constant, I don't know what you want to call it, allegation without evidence, without being able to verify it, just kind of running this interference mode in America. Trump vows to get rid of lingering stench at the Justice Department. Really quick, do you think he'll be successful?
There's a lot of stench to get rid of, you know what I'm saying?
Amen to that. Wow. Well, our prayers are that we can get rid of the stench everywhere. Anytime we go against God or we're immoral or dishonest, we hope we can clean it up and replace it with morality and honesty every time. Can you stay with us next hour?
Looks like it.
Okay, perfect. Stay there. I'll grab Tom DeWeese. You are listening to LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.